This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Strong talk, Big Brother, looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from veto to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for November 5th. I'm your host, Aaron Armstrong, and I'm here today to update you on everything that happened yesterday on the Big Brother 25 live feeds. It was day 95 in the house, and my voice isn't 100% back yet, but it's fighting. With me to talk through day 95. Big Brother 25 is Mary. How you doing, Mary?
I'm doing great. I'm so excited. Home stretch. I can't believe the twist where they're bringing back Corey America and Sari into the game. It's so good. They're doing a 3-for-3 swap. Three people coming in, three people going out. It's going to be great. I've heard that they're only doing quiz competitions. It's very exciting. Who knew the end of this season? I mean, strap in, everybody. This is going to be probably the longest update of the season based on this new twist. Really excited.
Yeah, I can't wait for Jag to stand up and evict Matt. Like in tears, and as Matt goes to walk out the door, the alarm sounds. Uh-oh, it's Path to Power Part 2, and Matt's safe. Oh man, fair twist, right, Jack?
Right, Jack? Oh my gosh. Yep. So, you know, no, that's not what's happening, unfortunately. Would love that to be the alternate universe, but instead, they played hide and seek. And that is, 90% of the day.
Hold on. Let's do a reenactment of hide and seek. Ready?
Okay. Oh no. I wonder where Taryn could have gone. Oh, man. All right, chat. Here's what we're going to do. Instead of looking for Taryn, we're just going to take a nap.
Hey.
I really thought that would have been really funny if when it was Felicia's turn to seek, if she just like was like, ha, I'm not going to even look for these people. I'm just going to sleep. That'll show them.
I mean, hey, she does before they. So, you know, it's a pretty regular day here at day 95. Of course, Jag has the decision between Felicia and Matt. He brought up to Bowie the night before, like, hey, you know, Matt has entertained the idea of evicting me in the like. I mean, I don't think he would have. And he told me pretty much every time he did it. But like, I haven't even done that. So if you think about it that way.
Yeah, it's a lot of self-justification.
And then coming into today, that's the big storyline. Will Jag cut Matt? Will he talk to Bowie some more about this? Because he hasn't come to a conclusion. And he spends basically the entire day not talking to Bowie about it.
Yeah, you know, the one conversation that we care about because it's the one thing that actually matters in terms of the game. And look, I sometimes enjoy popping onto the feeds and watching them play games and do the selfie camera and all that kind of stuff. It, you know, that's part of why we watch Big Brother. There are certain people who only like to follow the game. There are certain people who enjoy all of the rest of watching human interactions. That's fine. If you enjoy that stuff, it's great. It is, though, in terms of an update, not a whole lot we could talk about. And so when I'm watching, I'm just going, okay, have the conversation, like talk about, you know, the one thing with the eviction, you know, the one decision that could possibly be made. It takes a while for that conversation to even come up.
So most of the day is just the same. You know, Matt is starting to get a vibe from Jag, which of course, how this works is that Jag gives off a vibe. Matt responds to the vibe and then Jag goes,
no.
So he's not trusting me, huh? Well, that makes me feel even more justified in giving the vibe. Felicia says to the cameras, like, I'm just laying here doing nothing to do, Mr. B. The young people are upstairs and I'm alone by myself. But that's when they play some hide and seek together. So they do have an activity that they do together. Felicia has some creative hiding spots. But really, the only thing here is that Jag does late into the night eventually talk to Bowie.
Yes.
And it's the conversation we've been waiting for, just maybe not the conclusion we've been waiting for.
Before we talk about this,
okay.
Here, I have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you've ever played any of these type of Big Brother, Survivor, social strategy games that last, you know, more than just one day, a multi-day situation. Have you ever been in a scenario where you're having to choose between doing something you know is probably better for you game-wise versus something to do with a social relationship that you've made in the game? Like, have you ever played a game to where you've gotten to the point where you're having to think about that?
So, I mean, obviously, I haven't played these games with, like, such big stakes. I've played basically for fun games. In those games, I've both, like, ruthlessly cut allies and also just remained loyal to my closest ally. But I've also been, like I don't know. No, I guess the answer is no. I haven't really been in that spot.
I guess what I wonder is, you know, from an outside perspective, I think there's a lot of times where you watch seasons like when Cody takes Derek to the end and you think, how could this possibly be a choice that you wanted to make? Like, how could you not see the writing on the wall? And this is a game where there are actual stakes. And I just wonder if it's harder to see from the outside the point that it's been 94 days and that they are how much does that bother someone of like thinking, you know, with Tyler, decisions that he had to make at the end, not wanting to make a decision between Casey and Angela. Like, I wonder how much that does factor in, because you'd like to think that people could still think about it as a game, but if you're at a point where you just go, you know what, I know it may or may not be better for me, but I want to do this or that. I don't know. It's just something that I am trying to get into their heads more.
Yeah, you know, I think that we've seen this kind of situation before a lot. And I always, I'm always sort of more critical of the people who go into the game with this notion of, because you see this a lot, people go into the game with a vision of themselves as like the loyal person, the good person. And the people that go in with that vision, I'm going to change this game. I'm going to play it loyally. I'm going to play it the right way. They usually are the quickest to turn their back on their allies while justifying it to themselves. And that to me is like the worst kind of person on the show in terms of betrayal. Obviously, there's plenty of other things you can do on the show that are bad and much worse, but like I think the like moral self-justification angle is the one that more quickly gets you to turn on people. And if you go into the game saying like, listen, I'm a loyal person in my real life, but this is a game. And that doesn't mean that I won't have feelings about betraying somebody, but I'm going to do what I need to do. You know, that's what I am. And if that makes me a worse person, then sure, you can think I'm a worse person, but like, I know who I am, right? Those people I have a lot more respect for because they know themselves and they're actually, in my experience, a lot less likely to turn on their allies, a lot less likely to make like rash betrayal decisions because I think they usually are thinking about it with a clearer head. Whereas the people who are so stuck on should I not, they end up like focusing on how it's making them feel rather than what the actual move should be. And so, cause like the way that Jag talks about this is, do I go with my head or with my heart? And it's never that simple. It's never that black and white, but it's turned into something that simple because it's the emotions are too powerful for him to handle both those and the like logistics of the decision. You know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm very happy to, you know, root for people to make ruthless decisions or hard decisions. You know, ultimately the answer to the question is that I haven't been in that situation before, but I also, again, I wouldn't be the person going into the game saying, this is who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm a good person. I'm not going to betray people. I'm a loyal person. That's the message I want to give to the world about me is that I'm loyal. Because I know that that's not me in the game, that's not right. Who I would be. You know, it's, I think a lack of self-awareness, if that's who you think you are going in and then you find out you're not, that dissonance in your brain is what's causing all of this turmoil.
I think what's hard is I've always said, and this is going to sound way easier, or not way easier, way simpler than I mean it to, but like play whatever the game is, with the mindset that you're the best player and that you deserve to win. And then figure out along the way what those moves mean and how to justify that in the end. But if you don't, what you don't want to do is get to a situation where you know for a fact that it's really likely that you're not going to beat someone at the end, but because you've been loyal to them, you now feel this reason why you can't get rid of them. I think that that's the case that I always question. It's the cases where you have someone go, you look at it on paper and you go, there's no way that person's going to be able to beat the other person. And most likely it's because they just don't know that they're not going to win. But, and that's not even 100% this case. I still think there's a decent amount up in the air between like Jag and Matt, you know, who would potentially win. But, I think the problem is that so much more of the conversation, which I'm sure we're about to talk about, is about like what's the right choice, less than what's the right choice, like morally, what's the right choice based on things that have happened in the game, and less so what's the right choice based on here, the votes we think we're going to get versus the ones we're not.
Yeah. And like the problem Jag is having is that he's trying to, he's trying to bridge the two things, right? Mm-hmm. He wants to be the good person, the loyal person
and the best player and right.
Still be able to cut Matt.
Right.
And so that's where Matt did take two candies from me in the candy competition. And there was that one time where he said my name to somebody. He told me he said it, and I haven't said his. Mm-hmm. Like he's reaching so deep to find as much justification as possible to maintain this image that he is a loyal person and that this is not an indication of him not being a loyal person. This is the same thing that he has done all season when he turns on Corey in America, when he turns on Blue, you know, when he behaves the way that he does toward Felicia and Suri last week and this week. It's all, you know, trying to find ways to justify it. But with the Matt thing, the justifications are really weak. And he knows that. And so he's having a really hard time. And I think even more importantly, like he has to stand up in front of Matt and do it to his face. And when Matt asks why, he won't have a good answer that also justifies it morally to himself.
Which is frustrating because the answer should just be, hey, Matt, it's a game for $750,000. We're too close to the end for me to even risk it. At this point, I feel like I have a better chance either in comps or in the vote with the other two here. And that's where I'm at. And I'm going to take my chances. And I'm sorry that this is where we are. Like that really, it should be as simple as that. But when you have this, when you've started playing a game through a moral, or trustworthiness kind of like mindset, you want your answer to be, well, Matt, it's because you screwed me over in this or this way. And that's why I'm doing it. It's because it's your fault. I want to put the blame on you. I want to be able to blame you for the choice I'm making instead of just owning it.
Yeah. And I think that, like, for me at least, and it's again, like, listen, if Jag just was like, listen, obviously I need to cut Matt, all the respect to him. Like, you played the loyal guy. And that got you here. And then, you know, people believed it. And then it was a ploy all along and you got him. I don't think that means anything about who you are in the real world. But when you do bring the morality into it and you say, no, I am a good and loyal guy, I'm just also betraying my friend. Then that's where I'm like, okay, well, you know, you brought this up, so let's explore it. Like the thing that really, I think is interesting for me to look at, because I think it's such an interesting dilemma and sort of response to this, is that when Jag is going back and forth about, like, do I do the brain thing or the heart thing? He's talking about, I would feel so guilty. I would feel so bad. What would I tell my children, my grandchildren when they watch this? What kind of lesson does that teach them? In none of those things is he talking about Matt and how Matt would feel. He's talking about how he would feel, how he would feel really bad if he cut Matt, how it's bad for him, the negative parts of the decision to cut Matt for him, versus the positive things to cut Matt for him. None of it has to do with Matt as his own separate human. Right. And that to me is like the sort of the telling part of, again, this dilemma for Jag, is that it's still just about him. It's just about which thing is going to make him feel less bad.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's interesting because I do feel like if we saw this game happen on a quicker scale, on a 40-day season, I don't know that people would be so bogged down with that. I mean, when you have one or two people in the game who start bringing up playing loyal, honest, integrity, all that kind of thing, then it's going to infect at least a couple people's minds. I would love to get back to the days when you can have people sitting at the end saying, I deserve to win because I, you know, lied and joined every alliance and manipulated my way to the end. That's why I deserve to win. And for the people, it just seems like the last, I don't know, 10 seasons, at least one, if not both people in the final two, their first sentence is about how they played an honest or trustworthy game. And I just don't care. Maybe the people in the jury really, really care about that. But I think if from the start, people were just a little bit more, hey, we're playing a game, then we wouldn't infect this. But when you have such a long, long, long season, you do build the relationships. And that's why it, I don't know. I just feel like you get to the end, you got Matt and Jag, and Jag is like, I'm going to feel so bad because I've spent 3 months with this person and they saved me through a stupid twist. So now I owe them.
Yeah. And so Jag talks to Bowie about this and to me, and I said this yesterday too, it's pretty clear that Jag wants to cut Matt.
Mm-hmm.
But he is having a lot of trouble mustering up the courage to do so. In the same way that he wanted to do the Felicia keep her all up all night plan, but couldn't muster up the courage to do so. And so he's talking to Bowie because he's looking for somebody to tell him it's okay. Like he's looking for somebody to be like, yes, you have to do this, Jag. This is the right decision. Get that stamp of approval, get that like push so that, you know, he has a little bit more, you know, there's more people to like have the blame put on, essentially. Like, oh, we all thought this, you know, social support and justification. And, you know, Bowie is a little reluctant at first because that's really not the decision that Bowie would make. And so he's like, he's having to push pretty hard to get Bowie to agree. And so, you know, at the end of the day, Bowie's also the person that will eventually just agree. And so she does just start agreeing like, okay, yeah, you're right. Yes. Yeah. Yeah. But it's like, it's pretty light agreement. And I think the thing that really like crushes Jag in this is that he gets her to agree like, okay, yeah, it could make sense to take Matt out. And then he's like, okay, so now let me give you the other perspective. These are the arguments for why I wouldn't cut Matt. And she agrees to those two. And so when she's agreeing to everything you're saying, she's basically agreeing to nothing you're saying. And I think that's what really like stops him from feeling like this is a good enough conversation that she's justifying it. And it's more just like, you're just a mirror right now. I'm just speaking to a mirror.
Do you think that there was any opportunity? I mean, would it have gone differently if he had turned it around and said like, Bowie, if this was you, what would you have done? You talk me through the pros and cons or something.
I think he knows that if he asked her that, she would say she wouldn't cut Matt and that would be the end of it.
Yeah, that's frustrating. But I mean, I think Bowie's sitting pretty here for the most part. So.
I mean, it's even better for Bowie if Matt goes. She should be like, oh, Jag, of course it's the right move. You deserve everything in life. You know, this is Bowie. Bowie just, sometimes you get players in the end game that just have different motivations. And Bowie has different motivations.
I think Bowie, though, close to the biggest lock we've ever seen of someone who is at the final four, almost guaranteed to be in the final two.
Oh yeah. I mean, if Matt leaves, she's guaranteed final two with like, honestly, like a not impossible chance to win the game. Against Jag, it seems very unlikely at this point, but his jury management has been dreadful. Luckily for him, so has Bowie's. And then against Felicia, like, you know, I would take Felicia over Bowie, but it's not impossible that it goes the other way. Especially if it's like, cause think about it, Felicia versus, Bowie, Bowie might get all of Cam, Matt and Jag. That's three. She only needs one more if that's the case. So, does she get the one more? Does she even get Jag if she cuts him? Those are the questions, but it's potentially closer than you might think. So
I think the hard part here is the end of the conversation. You know, Jag and Bowie are talking and he says he doesn't think he's going to win if he takes Matt out regardless, which may or may not be true. But if there's a scenario where he's sitting at the end with some, I don't even know if this scenario would have happened because he does say if he wins the final three HOH that he's not going to bring Matt. But he's going to have this whole thought process again. So I don't think that there's a 0% chance. Like, I think that he could bring Matt. But if he somehow ends up in the end with Matt, the jury is going to say, you had the opportunity to take him out and you didn't. And if he doesn't cut Matt here, but somehow still makes it to the final three without Matt, or final two without Matt, I still think that they're going to say that he had the opportunity to cut Matt here and he didn't. Like, that's not necessarily going to dictate whether or not the jury votes for him or not. But I think having the move on the table and not taking it is always going to be a thing that the jury is not going to be happy about.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I think that not evicting Felicia over Matt at the final four is... It's not going to, I don't think it will land well to the jury because Jag, and this is the thing about the dilemma too, the moral dilemma is that Jag has already betrayed so many people on the way to get to where he is now. And so for him to have moral qualms about cutting one more, a very crucial step to his end game, feels again like it's not about, you know, more like actual morals and more about just like this one hurts him more. And so like if I'm on the jury and I've been brutally betrayed by Jag, but his justification is I had to do it for my game. And then he doesn't make the decision for his game to take out Matt at the final four. It's like, so who are you then?
I don't think like, he's going to do that, though. I think his justification is going to be, well, I took you out because I heard you were coming for me, or because like I think he's still going to try to play the moral high road.
Well, yeah. Yeah.
Which is frustrating. And also not going to win him jury votes. Like, I don't think people realize, especially when they're doing their final speeches or answering the questions, the question they're looking for is not what they did wrong that made you want to evict them. Like, what they're looking for is a move you made to advance yourself. Just own that. Even if it's not true, even if in your mind you evicted Corey and America because you thought they were coming for you. And it doesn't even matter if that is true or not, that they were going to do that. You need to spin it like, well, I thought you would beat me. Just say that. Just say that. I felt like I needed to get you out in order for me to get here. Like it's not that hard. I don't know why people feel the need to like dig the knife in. It's like they've already lost. You've already evicted them. At this point, you need to now make them like you.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody feels better about having their game end because you had some moral victory over them. It's just not.
Yeah.
Not well.
I mean, this is very real life stuff. I think it is a very natural thing. And I would say like not good thing to just lash out, defend against anything. If you feel bad, make it somebody else's fault. If you do something to somebody, make it their fault. Feels better for you, feels worse for them, but sucks for them, I guess, is usually how it goes. So Jag talks to the cameras. This is, I think, the most telling part of the whole thing. He's talking to the cameras, not to Bowie. He says, do I make the smarter move and play the game we all signed up to play? Like, listen to the justifications. Listen to the little bits he sprinkles in to try to justify it, right? Do I make the smarter move and play the game we all signed up to play? Or do I make the more loyal move, I guess? Like, the more loyal move, I guess? And keep him. And potentially just throw away my game. I sacrifice my game. The reason I'm here. Do I do what my brain wants me to do or what my heart wants me to do? And so you can see like through every bit of that, he's trying to undermine the very like dilemma he's putting in front of him by providing all of these reasons why it makes more sense for him to make the move. He does talk about like, a couple of minor fears about like, well, if I do make the move, does Bowie still take me to the final two? I think so. Felicia doesn't though. And so there is a little bit of that element as well. We've talked about that a lot. Like when it comes to cutting your friend versus not cutting your friend at the end of the game, the worst case scenario is cutting your friend and still losing. And so that's definitely in his brain somewhere. But because most of the time he's talking to Bowie about it, he can't discuss that with her because it's about her. He goes and looks at the memory wall. When he comes back, he says to Bowie, I don't know. I'm not strong enough to make this decision. And that's kind of where we've landed for now. We are in a place where he theoretically hasn't made this decision. Given enough time, I think that 100% he would cut Matt. Given enough time, these little voices in his head about justification will overcome the fear, the reluctance of not wanting to do it. But the eviction is tonight. It's live, I think. And there might not be a lot of time to like really sit down and think. And so it's definitely possible that he just doesn't have the courage to stand in front of Matt and say it. with Matt looking at him. So it's in, and like, it's, that's wild to say, because I don't think I've ever really seen a situation like this in the show before. If that is the case, where somebody is like really wanting to do a thing, but just actually doesn't have the courage to do it. Like the closest I think we can come is like Sam, when JC was like, no. And then she did something else. Like, so, it, you know, if you asked me, what is he going to do? I think he's going to do it. I think that like, he's going to know that the show is coming up, and that's going to like kick him into gear, and he's going to find the justifications he needs. But as of right now, there's still a possibility that, that, you know, he can't muster up that, that will. So we'll see.
Mustered up that will. Mustard seed. No, I tried. There's nothing there. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I mean, I definitely think that he's in a tricky spot with the jury regardless, but I don't think it's going to hurt him. I don't think that there's anyone on the jury. There may be people in his own life, maybe Riley, maybe Matt, but other than them, I don't think there's anyone else that's going to have him lose points for cutting Matt, unless he tries to have his entire jury speech be about how he can stay loyal. Just throw that out. Throw that part out.
Let me tell you the probably the most likely way this goes down, because it's classic. Right. The maybe on the screen, it'll say like live show tonight, or I don't know. I don't know exactly how it'll work. I forget if they surprise. I know they surprise them on Big Brother Canada. I can't remember because they don't always do it this way for the final four. But at some point they're going to learn that there's the eviction today if they don't already know. You know, they're going to talk. They're going to talk about the eviction tonight at one point. And Matt's going to do his normal thing of like, you know, so we're still good. And Jag is going to give like just a little bit of like, I hope so, you know? And then Matt will be like, what do you mean you hope so? And then like very slowly, Jag will like entrap Matt into questioning him, which will embolden Jag to be like, well, why are you questioning me? See, the fact that you're even questioning me right now is kind of the problem. And Matt will be like, what the f*** do you mean, dude? And then it'll get a little heated, and then that heatedness will give him the courage that he needs to do what he wanted to do. And it'll feel like it's Matt's fault, right? This happens all the time on this show. And I think it's probably the most likely way this plays out at this point. There's also the, there's like the pretty boy method. If you've watched Big Brother Canada, where it, you know, that was also a little heated, but then eventually turned into like a love fest. It's possible it plays out that way. I don't really know if Matt responds that way. But, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. This was about as much energy as I could muster towards excitement towards the end of this season. I mean, there's still some intrigue. And I think if the players in the future could just somehow refrain from, you know, misogynistic comments and things, then it would make me feel much better about the end of the season. And you know, it's kind of where we keep getting to.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, I talked about this a little bit on the live show, but like, for as frustrating as seasons can be, for as broken as the game is right now, there's a reason we all come back to the show, and like even in the darkest of sort of the most boring of times, like there's still this stuff to talk about. Like where else are we going to go on it? Like a deep dive about like, you know, the morality and of loyalty and justification and guilt. Like, it's still interesting. So, you know, this is a reason why this show is so important and interesting.
Yeah, so I agree. And then that's my favorite part is the analyzing social behavior part. You know, that part's interesting. Mm-hmm.
But. Yeah. On the other hand, Jack, please get it together because I haven't been able to prep my game recaps yet because I don't know who's leaving and I'm very frustrated by you because I meant to do it on Monday, but now I have no time to do it on Monday. I got to do it on a Tuesday and I'm going to have to do it all day on Monday. It's going to take forever. It's all your fault, Jag.
Yeah. Yeah. Just keeping you working right till the end, Taryn.
Yeah. All right. I'll be live tonight on Twitch, twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong, watching tonight's episode where we will see the result of this eviction. And then I'll be watching that live on Twitch. And then after the episode, we'll be on the podcast to talk through it. And then, of course, I'll be back tomorrow morning, 11 a.m. Eastern, to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother 25 live feeds. I will be doing a game recap of the final three. The plan right now, it's, you know, I'm always experimenting with these things. The plan right now is to do all three games in one podcast, sort of like how they do it on the show, mm-hmm. where it's like one recap, three stories, three paths. Because, you know, when I do three of them, I feel like I end up repeating myself a lot. So
especially this season, their games are pretty intertwined towards the end, especially.
Exactly. Exactly. So I figured it's a good time to experiment with that. So that's the plan for probably Tuesday. It'll probably be separate from an update, because, you know, the updates will just be, continue to be like, so Jag, Bowie and Felicia still didn't talk to Felicia or whatever. Stay tuned for all of that. Find me on Twitter, find me on Instagram. Mary, where can people find you?
You can find me everywhere at Frail Mary. And, you know, I got to say, while we always putter out a little bit towards the end, I had a really fun time, as always, this season talking to y'all. So glad I got to squeeze another quick update here at the end.
All right. Well, thank you all so much for joining us here today. And I will see all of you next time.